Hey everyone, it's Lola. I finally got around to starting a podcast because I found the perfect app. So let's get into it. All right, so one of the first topics that one of my followers wanted me to cover is machismo or sexism in Latin American communities, as well as the effects that it has on women and girls and boys. So, first and foremost, so as you all know, sexism and violent crimes against women are a very, very prevalent issue in Latino America. And it needs to be addressed from a cultural standpoint because oftentimes these generational problems are passed on through generation to generation, meaning that they are adapted and learned and exercised because they feel the right to. And a lot of times, women grow up, abused women grow up with a perception that love is something else than what it really is. They grow up with a perception that love is painful, that love is, self-sacrificing, that love is giving up your life for the man you love and giving up all your rights with it too, pretty much. Because as women in Latino America, we are expected to maintain the household, maintain family relations, maintain the kids and raise the kids, and a bunch of other stuff, cooking, cleaning, domestic labor, emotional labor. All while the men are, the sole breadwinners and the ones who never have to touch on any of those subjects. These gender roles are very, very harmful because they create and condition subservient behavior in women, and it teaches women to serve men. And it's never mutual. In these relationships where sexismo is so prevalent, and machismo specifically, which is toxic masculinity, you don't see an equal exchange of power. You don't see an equal exchange of expression. You don't see that ever because the woman is not allowed. She simply is not allowed to practice or exercise that freedom without the man's toxic masculinity being threatened and therefore oppressing her. So for a lot of women and girls and boys who are exposed to abuse, even from a young age, they grow up with a perception that love is equivalent to all these negative things, and so they gravitate towards those same behaviors in their relationships and, in their marriage or relationships. So when we see these signs of abuse and toxic masculinity, we need to teach our boys not to exercise that, not to act that way. And we need to teach our girls not to accept that because even though we're raising our girls a certain way and we have to teach them to defend themselves and we have to teach them so many things, we have to teach our boys to unlearn so many things that perhaps their own father or their own mother enforced on them that an idea that they were used to themselves. So this conditioning will lead women to settle for less than what they deserve and to accept disrespect and to equivalent love to pain. And it teaches boys that abuse is okay and that using women as an emotional punching bag and as a punching bag in general or a verbal punching bag is okay. That's what it teaches them. That's what it puts into their head. And so we see these children who grow into adults who. Children who were hurt and children who experienced hurt and witnessed hurt from other people and go on to hurting people in their own lives because of all that exposure to the negative stuff. So it is a very, very big issue, and I feel there's so many ways to approach the subject, and it's a huge spectrum because some people would say that certain behaviors are not abusive versus, in comparison to other behaviors. But honestly, abuse doesn't just start with slamming your head on the wall or punching you or, automatically making you bleed. There's verbal abuse, there's financial abuse, there's emotional abuse. There are a number of ways that men and women manipulate each other when they are abusive and toxic in a way as a form of power and control. And it's not fair. It's not fair to the kids who witness it and later on, you know, have to unlearn it and have to go through years and years of therapy and hurt to get that out of their head, out of their system. And it's not fair to the ones that have to suffer at the hands of people who were conditioned this way. And so, yes, while we do have to teach our girls to protect themselves and not accept this and that, we need to teach our boys the same thing, not to accept the same kind of behaviors from women and not to project those behaviors on women either. So, in regards to the other part of the question that my follower asked with the Stockholm syndrome was, you know, like addressing Stockholm syndrome pretty much in these abusive relationships. And that ties into what, you know, the person was raised seeing and accepting and equivalating to love. A lot of things play into that. And you can't just, you know, tell someone who has Stockholm syndrome, which by the way, is an affection or I would say like more endearment that a captor or a victim develops against their captor or aggressor. It's actually pity, and it's actually they start sympathizing with them and making up excuses for them and, you know, justifying their behavior towards them. And the Stockholm syndrome is really hard to break out of because while it's easy to recognize in another person, when it's you who's been brainwashed and who's been gaslighted and who's been, you know, denied for years your experiences, it's hard to break out of. It's very hard to break out of. And, you know, abuse doesn't become obvious until the person is completely and utterly destroyed sometimes, which is really sad because it goes into the boiling frog analogy. I think that's the right word for it, which is you put two frogs in a pot of warm water and then you put the lid on it and you let them chill there for a second, you know, for a few minutes. And as time goes by, you gradually increase the temperature in that pot of water. And the steam is, you know, rising and it's getting hotter and the frogs don't really notice it because it's so gradual, it's so slow. They really aren't paying attention to the subtle signs that they're being boiled alive, literally. And until eventually the water is so hot, so scalding boiling hot that they cannot get out. They're drowning, they're dying, they're boiling alive. And it only took them, you know, the whole duration of them sitting in that boiling water to realize what was going on. And for a lot of women and men, you know, I say women because the statistic is significantly higher for women in situations of abuse at the hands of men. It's the same exact way. You know, they don't realize just how bad the abuse is and how fucking terrible that person is until they've been completely destroyed by them. And that's exactly how manipulators and abusers move, to inflict as much harm as possible. And narcissist as well, to keep people around them and to leech off of their happiness and to break them down or whatever else they need to do to feel powerful in themselves. So, yeah, honestly, there's so many ways to approach the subject. And it's really sad. Honestly, it's really, really sad when these women who realize they're in abusive situations think that they have no way out. But there's always, always, always a way out. There's always a way out. And thank God for the internet and for these resources that we have where every single day we get closer and closer to, you know, being more free, you know, finding more freedom, finding more ways and resources to be free and make our voices heard.